Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the best Pokemon podcast there ever was. A Wild podcast has appeared. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and with me, as always, are my other hosts, Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome back, guys, for another week.
Hello, hello.
Talking about our favorite pocket monsters.
I am here. I am definitely here.
Such enthusiasm.
That's the kind of enthusiasm you can come to expect from really just Christian. I have to carry a lot of the water for the fun and enthusiasm on this show.
If you are new
to this show.
Whoa. Wow. These are lies.
Megan is also very enthusiastic. Christian is never. If you're new to this show, we break this show down into three parts. We do a quick news hit, some bullet point stuff. Then we take a break. We come back for a deep dive. And then we end the show with everyone's favorite thing, the Pokemon fact of the week. And we are still in, technically, Halloween. This episode will be out for Halloween.
So like no pressure, Hoffer, so but no like pressure. This fact better give me legitimate nightmares.
I mean,
also, if you're new to the show, that segment is also generally horrifying. but for Halloween, they've been especially so.
It's basically the segment where we look too far.
That's true. We also read listener reviews. So if you guys want a chance to win a free comicbook.com t-shirt, all you have to do is head on over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. And if we read it on the air and you let us know, we'll send you a shirt. We're the podcast that keeps on giving.
Absolutely. We give you clothes. Yeah.
We give you laughter.
We
give you nightmares. And lots of nightmares. And
Hoffer specifically gives you nightmares. I don't want to be associated with that narrative.
All right. So first up, there's a bit of Pokemon Go news.
A little bit. Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We have a new team leader in Pokemon Go.
Not a new team leader.
No.
They're an existing team leader, but we learned something new about them.
That's right.
So Blanche, the team leader of Team Mystic, has been recently confirmed to be non-binary, which is a nice little cool gesture for those fans who don't conform to the binary masculine or feminine genders. People have had their suggestions all summer. The Pokemon Go Twitter account has always referred to Blanche as Blanche, as opposed to using his or hers. And in a recent blog post, they used they, the singular they pronoun, to describe Blanche, which kind of is the trademark that's what non-binary people tend to use. So, you know, it's a nice little gesture. It doesn't change anything, obviously. I noticed a few other people on the internet noticed, you know, the comicbook.com or Pokemon Go hasn't made like a thing of it at all. You know, it's not like they're doing the whole like, you know, hey, we're announcing this like diversity thing that we're doing, but it's still really cool. It's really inclusive, you know, and you know, if you're somebody who doesn't really care about that sort of thing, it doesn't impact you at all, which, you know, I guess is a thing that some people care about. So, you know, just a nice little cool gesture that the Pokemon Go people did. So kudos to them.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. I mean, I love the fact that they haven't made like a big spiel about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost 2020, the new decade's here. I'm really excited for the point where like this kind of discussion doesn't even need to be had. It's just like it's just a thing. But I think it is so cool. Also, I'm biased because I'm Team Mystic. Hey. but yeah, no, it's super cool. Some great information. And I like that it's been a consistent narrative that like the Pokemon Go company, like when it first came out, like the game itself, they didn't have a narrative of, you know, Blanche subscribing to a binary gender. The whole time it was like that from the beginning. Blanche is Blanche. It's not a she or her or him and he situation. It's just a they are a person, which is super cool. I'm interested to see if any kind of like future nuggets like that end up further in the Pokemon franchise. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye out for.
Pokemon Go hit another pretty cool milestone. I don't want to say this was a milestone, but Pokemon Go hitting 3 billion in sales.
That's
a lot of money for a mobile game.
So whenever, you know, one of the things that I commonly get as a Pokemon journalist is, oh, do people still play Pokemon Go?
He said that. Yes. With a straight face.
Yes, they do. I am a Pokemon journalist. Thank you very much. I am. I am like North America's only paid Pokemon journalist. but yeah, like, you know, people are still playing it and they've enjoyed a big summer where they're like making, they're still making like $100 million a month, which that's just insane. This game's been out for 3 years. I mean, that's like Candy Crush numbers, and Candy Crush only makes the money it does because, you know, old people love to play it and, you know, they spend their IRA money on it and stuff, you know? You know, Pokemon Go is doing, it's just kicking. It's never going to end until we get Pokemon Go 2.
Do you think that'll happen?
Yeah, I was about to say, do you think they'll ever realistically do that, though?
I think eventually. I know that the kind of, like, they said they had, like, a 5 or 10 year plan for this game. I could see that, you know, it wouldn't just be, like, you know, okay, we're resetting the game and we're going to slowly do a drip of Pokemon. It would be like a new, they would have to come up with a big advance in AR technology in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will eventually happen, but, you know, I think it would be because of a big technology boost, not because of them just deciding to reset the game. They did something like that for Ingress, which was Niantic's first AR game, where they kind of like moved the storyline forward and they moved to like, I forget what the name, if it's like called, I think it was called like Ingress Prime or something like that. But it was basically a sequel series. And, you know, all the players moved to it. You know, they didn't like lose much of their fan base. And it wasn't like a hard reset or anything like that. Basically, it was just a way for them to include a bunch of new features and kind of like change the gameplay a little. So I could see them like doing stuff like getting rid of Stardust or, you know, making some major gameplay changes and eventually, you know,
I always get super cautious when games do that. And this is a real sort of old throwback type of story that I'm going to tell in just a second. But there was an old MMORPG that I used to play on the computer called Asheron's Call, and I loved it. And then they released Asheron's Call 2, and everyone stopped playing both.
Oh no!
Because the second game was not good. They're like, well, but it looks so much better. Because I mean, don't get me wrong. The first game looked like hot garbage. It was just not. It was just not a pretty game. Competing in an age where World of Warcraft was really starting to sort of come into its game, and that whole era of MMORPGs really started to take leaps and bounds ahead of this first game. And so, I forget who it was, Turbine, I think it was the developer, and they were just like, oh, well, we can do this. We've been working on this game. It looks better. It's the same game that you've loved. And it was not. It was just totally, it was not that it was totally different. It was different enough that everyone was just like, all right, I'm done.
Jeez.
I know, it was really tragic. It really left a mark on me. I'm sorry.
That was a gem story that I was expecting to like make a hard like left turn into like, yeah, I was playing this MMORPG and then I started like a like money farm operation and nope, it just stayed on the straight and narrow. I'm genuinely shocked. Like, I was expecting that just to take a really dark turn.
I'm not, you know what, forget it. I you joke, like... oh, now we're gonna go there. So you joke about it, but so yes, I may have done something like that. Similar, it was not dissimilar to gold farming in World of Warcraft and things like that. But yeah, sure. I sold some gold on eBay. I sold some resources on eBay for the game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Jim. I love the fact that, like, I just assume, like, you know, like, oh, here's a random story. It's like, how's Jim going to turn this into, like, a bilking scam?
You turned it into a bilking scam. I was not going to go there.
Yeah. He's going to keep it private. He's going to keep it secret. He's going to keep it safe.
I thought it was irrelevant to the story I was trying to tell, but now here we are.
Hoffer's drug it in.
Anyway, speaking of how to make a lot of money, rare Pokemon card sold for $200,000.
I do need to say this first. If we do get a second Pokemon Go game, I demand it be called Pokemon Go Go. And that's the only thing I demand. That's literally it. And now we can continue our Pokemon card.
Not going to lie, Megan, I don't think that's what they're going to do.
I don't care. That's what I suggest.
So a rare Pokemon card sells for $200,000. Is this now? Does everyone need to go check their collections to see if they have this card?
No, because I guarantee you they don't have it.
Yeah, no one has this card. This is clearly not someone has.
Someone has it. It's sold.
So you know this. Which card is this, Megan? I was supposed to say you were the one who wrote the story.
Yeah. So basically, there's a lot of rare Pokemon cards, but there are some that are just like stupid rare. Mm-hmm. One of these is the original Illustrator Pikachu card, which came out back in 1998. It was released in like, there was only like less than 20, I think it was like 12 or something, given out to the winners of a Koro Koro illustration contest in Japan. So this is a Japanese card. Any releases of it that you see in like English or, you know, like anything like that, those are bootleg replicas. They're looking for the original contest winning cards. They are very rare. The card that sold that was for like $200,000, it was like 198 something, shipping and handling on that. I don't even know. I don't even care. But basically, it was a 9.8 graded mint card. And it sold for a lot of money. And like, I think it was like in 2011 or 2012, one of these cards sold that same 9.8 mint condition. And it only sold for 80. Thousand. Still a lot of money. I hate that I have to say it only sold for that, but compared to the like $200,000 bump, you can just see how much that has appreciated and these years. And I mean, Pokemon's getting popular. That card sold for a lot of money.
So my big question is, are they shipping that via standard mail, like the last expensive Pokemon card that got sold for big bucks and then got stolen out of someone's mailbox?
I hope whoever willingly put the money down for that had the money to either send themselves to pick it up in person or send someone else to pick it up for them. That is not something. Also, I say this because I just got like one of, like, I ordered a collectible recently that got lost in the mail and I'm very upset about it. And like, I was able to work like a refund and like exchange back for it. But like, I only spent like $100. I didn't spend six figures on it. So yeah, if I somehow had that kind of disposable income, I would be sending myself to the auctioneer and saying, give me my card. And then I would like handcuff it to myself.
Who would have thought that, you know, 20 years after a Pokemon card craze happened, that these cards would still be selling for big money?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, it's no different from other collectibles, right? I mean, comics do the same thing. And,
you know, at the same time, like, you know, the difference is like with comics, those are like old comics, you know? Like, yeah, like Action Comics 1 is going to sell for a lot of money, but you don't think of something that's made like 25 years ago is going to sell for that like crazy amount of money. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's the same thing whenever I see like a Magic card, you know, go for like insane bucks. And then I think to myself, you know, I played the original like three Magic expansions, like the base set and the first two expansions. And now when I see these cards go for like insane amounts of money, I like think to myself, that card looks awfully familiar. Like I think I might have used one of those in one of my decks. And like, you know, I just gave my Magic cards away when I was like 11 years old because it was already like way too complicated for me and I got into Pokemon cards. But you know, like I just like think about it, like, you know, even today, like even the big cards that are used in, you know, competitive decks are, they sell for insane amounts of money. Like, I remember there was the Tapu Lele, I think it was. And that thing was selling for like 100, 200 bucks online. And that was nuts. And that was just for a plain old, nothing super special about a card, you know? These things still sell for lots of money.
It's weird. Like, I can understand the speculation market in comics because that's just like, oh, this character is going to show up somewhere or be important or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for cards, I don't get it outside of truly just straight up rarity for some of this stuff. I think that's really the only, I think that like, that's the speculation, right? Like where like you don't really know how many of these cards are actually made or in circulation. Mm-hmm. And so if you only see it, you know, sort of once or twice and it happens to be a good card, then boom, it goes up. But
the craziest thing about this card is it's not even the rarest. Like it's one of the top rare. Mm-hmm. It's like in the top three for sure, but like the consensus is amongst collectors and, you know, like big time collectors, is it the rarest card is the pre-release Raichu card because like so like maybe eight of them were ever released. They have never popped up on secondhand market. No one knows if they even still exist or what's happened to them, because the only differentiation with this card is a tiny little stamp. So, like, it looks like a completely normal Raichu card unless you notice that stamp. Like, that's it. And no one knows where they went or how, like, how they've circulated. No one knows. But, like, people have estimated it's probably worth $500,000 that's if insane. It was found.
Well, it's just so funny, too, because, like, I listen to an action figure podcast, whatever. But a lot of the things that they'll talk about or go after are, like, prototypes and unreleased stuff or, like, things that, like, were totally slated to come out, shown on in, like, a catalog, but never made it to store shelves, but exist as prototypes and, you know, things like that. And that whole world just, like, fascinates me. And just even that, like, you know, these cards that may just be promo cards or that, you know, 6 exist or 12 exist or 30 exist. And you're just like, what is it? What is the person who has that doing with it? Like, is it in a frame in their house somewhere? Is it tucked away in a binder and you just have no idea till, you know, someone dies and someone's going through some stuff? Like, I'm just like, what do people do with this stuff? I think
it's probably those two extremes. Exactly. It's the people who don't know what they have. It is tucked away because who knows? Or it's in like a little mom and pop shop. Like, they don't understand what it is.
What I've wanted to do at one point was I wanted to collect a bunch of Charizard holofoils from the original Pokemon deck and just like just see how many I can get and just put them in a frame, because some of them are like they're worth nothing, right? Like, the if it's a non-shadowless non-first edition, then you know you can get them for like 20-30 bucks. But I wanted to see how many of them I could just kind of like amass to put in a frame. So if you have a Charizard card and you don't really want anything to do with it, I will send you my mailing address. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just interesting, right? Because it's one of those things where a lot of there are always instances where these cards are sometimes worth nothing one day and then worth everything just sort of the next. And a lot of that really has to do with, you know, just the, either the story behind some of these things or really just how, like, the market kind of responds. It is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite, like, kind of, like, market speculation sources has nothing to do about Pokemon. But do you guys remember the comic series Morning Glories?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine when that series was, like, first came out and was super hot and stuff like that. And he just, like, ran around and bought up, like, every copy of Morning Glories number one that he could get. And then he sold them all on eBay, like, over the next week and made, like, $5,000.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, but that's how volatile that stuff is, right? Because then, like, a couple months later, a couple years later, that book is worth nothing.
Yeah.
No one cares about Morning Glories. It's a nothing comic that was, like, you know, but when that comic first came out, everyone's like, this is the last, like, the next Lost. Like, this is going to, like, everyone, this is going to be the next big thing. And spoiler, it wasn't, because it was, like, totally incomprehensible and made no freaking sense whatsoever, and everyone looked like exactly the same. But
I'm always fascinated anytime new Pokemon cards come out, and even when we do our unboxings, which we'll probably do one next week because we just got the next set in, which cards are the cards that pop kind of immediately, and then which ones are the ones that kind of stick for a while, because there's always at least 4 or 5 that will pop immediately during a new release, and then once it's been out for a little bit, they'll start to settle. But then there's always at least 2 or 3 that stick in that like $200 to $300 range for a card, which is fascinating.
Jim, yeah, that's that me and me and like Funko Pops. I don't like collect them or anything, but I do like them. I'm sorry, Hoffer, but like,
okay.
But like when I'll get them, I'll like look at it and I'll be like, oh, that's worth a lot of money now, and I'm like, eh. I go and then just to purposefully anger everyone, I go and take it out of the box.
Yeah, Jim, that sounds like a great idea for an article that which cards are like the most expensive card in that set. That sounds like a great idea for an article that I will write in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, hey.
So look for that on comicbook.com.
Here's the card you're looking for if you want to make money.
That's right. All right, so let's move on to Let's Go. There's a promo right now where I guess if you go to Best Buy, you can get a Mewtwo for free.
Yeah, that's the story.
There we go. Next bullet point.
I think it starts technically like November 1st or November 2nd. Yeah. So just to be careful, wait until next week to go out and grab it. But yeah, you can get a Mewtwo.
But you need Pokemon Pass, right?
You need Pokemon Pass. You need a Pokemon Let's Go game. So either Pikachu or Eevee. And then you can, you know, get yourself a Mewtwo.
Do you have to bring your Switch or can you just bring...
No. So how the Pokemon Pass works, you download the app, it gives you you go to the location, I think you scan like a QR code within this Pokemon Pass app, you scan it, it gives you a code that then you can take home and use with your Nintendo Switch. So, like, the entire point of the Pokemon Passes is it's a really terrible idea to bring your precious $400, console out to, like, Best Buy or something like that. And I think they were getting tired of, like, the cards because people, you know, you would run out of those cards. Mm-hmm. And then it became,
or people
like,
would, like, take seven of them and then sell them.
Yeah, that's, you know, we call that Jim Viscardi-ing.
Wow, no, I have never done that, for the record.
Anyways, but yeah, so,
you
know.
To be this, like, grifter.
I love it. It's like every week I just come up with a new way to slander you. But anyways, so the Pokemon Pass app, which is free to download, it's actually a really clever thing. I wish it would get used more often.
Yeah.
I think that maybe with the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield, they were kind of limited in what they could do with Pokemon Let's Go, since there's only like 170 Pokemon, because all they had were your Kanto Pokemon, the Alola variants, and then Meltan and Melmetal. But now you can get, 400 some Pokemon. So I'm sure they'll be using that app a lot more here in the coming months/years.
This next bit of news I am truly a bit saddened by, the fact that they are not making any more Let's Go games.
Yeah, this one was a kind of a weird story. So when Pokemon Let's Go came out, they kind of marketed it as like, these are a new main series games. We're going to have two main series games. We're going to have the Let's Go games, which are going to be geared towards casual gamers, people, like who played Pokemon as a kid and, are now adults and want to play it with their kids, or just, don't really want to like delve into like, the complexities of the modern Pokemon game. And then we will have our normal Pokemon games, which, like Pokemon Sword and Shield. So that's how they kind of like have like referred to it. But in some recent interviews that we'll talk about more in a little bit, one of the things that came out about it was they're not going to make any more Pokemon Let's Go games. At least there's no immediate plans for it. Now that can change.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, oh yeah, we're not going to make any more remakes. And that always turns out to be a load of, but right now it doesn't seem like those games are on the horizon, which I think is disappointing. Like,
yeah.
I
always figured that these would just be easy ways for them to slowly work on the animations and things like that for the other Pokemon that you could then theoretically bring into Sword and Shield and beyond type stuff.
Yeah, and we've had new Pokemon games every holiday season for going on 4 years. Mm-hmm. Dates back to 2016. And if they just stick with those main series games, they're not going to be able to keep that up. So, mm-hmm. Those Let's Go games, they're straight remakes, so they don't have to they have to build a new game, clearly. But at the same time, they don't have to,
design work. They don't need to design any new Pokemon. They don't need to design up a new story. They literally just need to build it and let you do the things that you would normally do in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they already have the engine for it, too. So that kind of surprised me as well.
Well, and that was the other thing, too. Like, they made such a big push for that Pokeball peripheral that, mm-hmm. if for you to bring your Pokemon with you and mm-hmm. give it experience on the go and things like that. Like, I thought because of that peripheral, like, they were in this kind of for a long haul, because as far as we can tell, you can't use that for Sword and Shield, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You can't.
Yeah.
So,
like, what the hell was the point of people who spent $80 on their Pokeball peripheral if it was only going to be used for one game?
I mean, here's the thing. Just knowing how press works in Japan, I don't believe this interview at all. Not a single bit. The answer they gave about we don't have any immediate plans, I've heard that from dozens of like Japanese game developer PR firms and anime firms and manga firms. 3 months later, after their next big title comes out, because they don't want to distract attention, guess what we're working on? Like, it happens every single time. I'm sure they don't have immediate plans, and that's like the large caveat.
And by immediate plans, they may mean like tomorrow.
They don't have a firm release date.
They have a 3 month plan.
Yeah, they don't have an immediate. Like, that is how they get away with it time and time again. Japanese PR firms are just on another level sometimes. So, like, I don't really believe it. I think immediate does not constitute next year. I mean, we might not get one next year. That's something I understand. They're doing research with like the first Let's Go game. But I definitely think that with some fine like tweaking and tuning, like we'll get another one. I have no doubt about that. So it's just
a bold claim from Megan.
Oh yeah. I mean,
Megan is calling out, you know, our gaming company counterparts as fake news. So, you know,
I don't think it's fake news. They're reporting the correct.
Right. They got told news. To say they got told the thing. They just
And I don't
chose to believe the lie.
And I don't believe that the Pokemon company is lying either. I just think in their understanding of immediacy is different from our idea of we're never going to get one again. Oh my gosh.
Right, no, they're immediately releasing Sword and Shield.
Yeah. So. And they're immediately going to want to do press for that. And they're not going to want to distract away from it. So I am very confident that we're getting another one. It's just right now that is so not what the Pokemon company wants to talk about. So
yeah, I definitely think that we will get more remakes down the line. I mean, you know, people have been clamoring for the Gen 4 remakes for freaking ever. So, you know, I think that we'll definitely get them sometime down the road. I am a little bit curious though, if, you know, their plan is not to kind of rotate Let's Go and the main series, like what that means, because, you know, I think I don't want to say there's an expectation. Like, I don't know Nintendo's inner workings, and I refuse to feed into the narrative that the only reason that Pokemon Sword and Shield doesn't have, like, all, like, 900 Pokemon is because, you know, Nintendo is demanding that they get this thing out for the holiday season. However, I do think that, you know, the Pokemon games are steady sellers. You're going to make good money off those suckers every freaking year that they come out with one. And so, like, you know, I thought that the Let's Go was, like, a good way to, like, you know, because people have kind of complained about Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Like, it was literally the exact same game. Mm-hmm. Like, 90% of it. You know, there was, you know, a different ending to it. Like, it did, like, deviate there. But at the same time, a lot of it didn't have, like, the sequel feeling that, like, you know, games like Pokemon Emerald or Pokemon Crystal had. And, you know, things of that nature. And so, you know, I think that, you know, Let's Go was a way around that. Because it's that same, like, I don't want to say it's less work, you know, to make one of those games, hypothetically, than there is a brand new Pokemon game. And so I thought that was, like, a good compromise. So I am curious.
But also, too, like, if fans getting into this want to go back and play the older games, like, it's harder to get your hands on the peripherals that you need to play the stuff than it is, you know, to just, like, if they did an alternate, right? Like, 1 year's Let's Go, 1 year's new game, 1 year's Let's Go, 1 year's new game.
And that was one of the reasons why, I mean, I know, like, for instance, there's a Zelda game that came out this year, you know, Link's Awakening, and the entire reason why did you make this, like, okay, you know, why did you remake an okay Zelda game? Like, a Zelda game...
Hoffer, we'll talk later.
But, you know, and, like, they're like, well, it's because, like, the current generation has, like, no way of playing it, and we have a way, you know, with the Switch, we realize this is a good way of reintroducing this game to, like, a new generation. And, you know, and like, I loved Link's Awakening. Don't get me wrong. It's just, like, not what I think of when I think of, like, a core...
What's the game we need to remake? That one.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, like, that was my thing. Was, like, when they came out with that, I was like, ah, yes, it's literally the, like, one Zelda story that has no impact on canon whatsoever.
Well, and they could have just as easily put that out on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, yeah, and they chose not to. They chose to remake it because they wanted to present it for a new modern audience, and that's what these Let's Go games would also do.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to, we got a bunch of more information from the said interviews about Sword and Shield, so we're going to go into that when we get back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, so everyone but us got to talk to Game Freak, and a lot of stuff came out sort of about Sword and Shield.
Enough to put into like one segment, but a lot of this isn't like necessarily like new information.
There's some confirmations and stuff in here. Like, yeah. I think, the first one I'll go to is just like, there's going to be no Pokemon Go connection for this game, I think people expect it, but also is a bit of a surprise. I mean, to put out there, right? Like, I don't think anyone was expecting Pokemon Go to start rolling out, Galar Pokemon right from the get-go. But at the same time, I think people may have expected Galar evolutions sooner than later. And why wouldn't those necessarily connect with Pokemon Go?
Well, with the Pokemon Go thing, so with Pokemon Let's Go, going back to Pokemon Let's Go, we had that direct link. You pulled up your phone, you had the Switch, and they would talk to each other. That's not that functionality is not in it. How it's going to work is it's going to go through the Pokemon Home app, which we already knew about. Mm-hmm. They technically confirmed this back when they announced Pokemon Home, but this was an explicit confirmation of it. And a big part of the reason is because not all the Pokemon are going to be in this game. And it's not like with Pokemon Let's Go, where it's like, your original 151. Everyone knows the original 151. I think with Pokemon Go, because it's basically going to be a crapshoot of which Pokemon are getting put into Pokemon Sword and Shield, I think there would be extra rules and functionality. It probably wouldn't be that hard of a thing to do, but I think that, with Pokemon Home coming out, that's going to be your one-stop shop for transfers moving forward. So, and that was always the plan.
They also confirmed the length of gameplay, which is not necessarily a surprise.
Yeah, it's going to be the same length as other Pokemon games. I will admit, I thought this was a little bit surprising, only because...
Well, just for everyone's edification, it's about 20 to 30 hours.
Yeah, which, anyone who's, actually played a Pokemon game, if you go and you sit through and, sit down and, I'm going to play this Pokemon game in order to beat it, yes, it takes 20 to 30 hours. If you're like me, and like I am going to pick apart this world with a fine-tooth comb, it takes me 100 hours to complete one of these games, if not more. Like, I think on Pokemon XY, I think I have 400 hours in that game. and I fully expect Sword and Shield will be the same. But, I will say I was a little bit surprised just because of the size of the wild area. So we have a rough knowledge of how big the wild area is going to be. And they're saying, I have no reason to doubt this, that it's the size of 2 regions.
Jeez.
So that was going to be the thing. It says 20 to 30 hours, but do we think it's going to feel? Because 20 to 30 hours is not terribly long.
No. But
do we think it's going to feel that way given the new style of gameplay and how the world is built compared to previous games?
I mean, I think this is going to be kind of a situation similar to Breath of the Wild. This Pokemon Sword and Shield is not an open world game. Let's get that out of the way. However, Breath of the Wild is a game which has a plot that you can complete in 20 to 30, maybe more like 30 to 40 hours, However, if you're just trying to beat the game, you're going to miss out on so freaking much. It's kind of like, what's even the point? And I got a feeling you can complete this game in 20 to 30 hours, but that's only hitting the 8 gyms, leveling up your Pokemon, getting the team together that you need to beat the Pokemon Championship and complete whatever the side plot is involving the, legendary Pokemon, whoever is the actual bad guy in this game. No one thinks it's Team Yell. That's my other thing that I love. It's like, absolutely no one thinks Team Yell is actually the bad guys. They Team Skull, they presented Team Skull. It's like, yeah, it's a bunch. They're a gang. And people are like, oh, yeah, Team Skull is definitely the bad guys. And they kind of were. they weren't really the bad guys, but you know, they were a recurring nemesis. It's like, yeah, like Team Yell, it's like, yeah, they're British soccer fans. It's like, oh, okay. So who's the real, like, and so immediately people are like, okay, so which of the characters that we've got here actually look shady? Like, who's the real shady people? Like, you know, is it the professor? Is it the dude with the cape? Is it the head of the Pokemon League? Like, who's the actual bad guy here? Because it's not these jokers. But yeah, so like, if you are only out to beat the bad guys and become Pokemon champion, this will take 20 to 30 hours to complete. And that's how long these other games have taken, too. Hopefully there won't be as many, like, mandatory cutscenes like there was in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Because
those were terrible.
Yeah, I just wanted to punch Hal in the face. I did not like that kid by the end of the game. Like, I was like, dude, you are a slacker and a loser and a waste of time. Like, go back to eating your treats and just, like, leave those of us who are actually trying to do a job alone. Like, you know, I just wanted to kick him off the boat. And, like, you know, tie him to, like, one of those, like, the Delmies, you know, the ghost anchor Pokemon, and just drop him in the ocean.
Wow.
Jeez, Hoffer, getting dark.
Wow.
Well, we're getting to that time of the...
I'll let you talk about the Sobble thing, because in the notes it was in all caps. Yes. A lot of all caps.
So, if you've been following comicbook.com's coverage of Pokemon Sword and Shield, you will know that we are your go-to source for Sobble news. So we had two bits of Sobble news this week. The first, the Japanese site Famitsu released a bit of video which shows, like, okay, this is what happens when you choose your trainer or you choose your starter Pokemon. So, like, you know, you, like, go and, like, fist bump Grookey and you, like, high five Scorbunny. But when it comes to Sobble, like, jumps up and very formally takes your hand with both of his hands and, like, nervously shakes it. And, like, the internet was like, oh my god, this is how I feel when I meet new people. Like, this is 100%, like, I relate to that. That is 100% me. That's me at parties. Like, Sobble knows what it's like to make friends as an adult.
Yes.
Yes, and it's amazing. Sobble is, you know, the best of these starter Pokemon. And it's not even close. On a side note, this is a story that I wrote up today. So there's a Japanese store called Three Coins, and they sell stuff for 300 yen. And they're kind of like the like Five Below type over there. And so they do merchandise stuff with Pokemon. And so they're getting ready to do a new, like, Pokemon merchandise release. And so they had this picture of a bunch of Pokemon, and they're all preparing, like, curry or a stew. And there is Sobble, and, like, for the first time since Sobble's been released, it shows Sobble with a full smile. The reason why is he's standing on a pile of cheese and he's holding a big wedge of cheese in, like, one hand. And it's like, yep, this truly is the most perfect Pokemon. He loves the only thing that makes him happy is cheese. I mean, like, this really is a millennial.
Cheese. Excellent. Yep. No, that picture is, like, the cutest thing.
I absolutely loved it. I was like, Yep, Sobble is definitely going to be my starter. Like, I don't think I have a choice in this matter. Like, no, I just want to protect him and, you know, give him, like, reasonable deadlines in healthcare, you know? Give him, you know, have him earn enough money that he can pay off his student loans in a timely fashion. That's all I want for this Pokemon.
Good.
Looks like Game Freak also said that they are intentionally holding back the reveals, which is...
Yep.
Kind of what we had suspected just by their sort of release strategy thus far, but it always is interesting when they come out and say it.
Yeah, they did confirm that, you know, they've definitely been releasing stuff on a drip, and I think that's a good thing. Like, honestly, I think that's a really good marketing method. I think it was, you know. I was concerned that they were going to have to do a big info dump after this national Pokedex controversy. And I'm glad that they didn't, because that marketing strategy has worked wonders. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone's excited for this game. You know, I think there's a lot of mystery. So there's a lot of excitement about actually playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps that, you know, it's a lot harder to hack into a Nintendo Switch than it is a Nintendo 3DS. So no one has clues. Like, you can now pre-download your copy of Pokemon Sword and Shield. Usually around this time with past games, everything came out, because you could hack into the 3DS really easy. It is 10,000% Like, it's impossible to do. Like, you know, there's people that I've been following who they do data mines of these games, and they've leaked everything since, like, X and Y. And they're like, yep, not a chance in heck that we're getting this one, guys. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
I also love that it's like it's a 1-2 punch of that, because they also have zero regrets for leaving Pokemon out.
Yeah.
And, you know, their explanation was, like, I think they were as affected by this controversy as any, you know, they're a part of the Pokemon community, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they were affected by it. But, you know, it really came down to, in their eyes, are we going to prioritize new types of gameplay and new features? Or are we going to keep trying to load up these games so that they are compatible with 800, 900, 1,000 Pokemon species? I don't know if that's the right decision or not. Like, I haven't played Pokemon Sword and Shield. But I do think that, you know, they've ripped the Band-Aid off, and I'm curious to see what they do from here. And I would understand, like, you know, I think that one of the running complaints about the Pokemon franchise is that it does not innovate. Mm-hmm. You know, if their claim is, well, that's because we have to, you know, keep programming all these Pokemon, let's see you innovate now. That's mm-hmm. kind of my stance. It's like, let's yeah. see what happens.
But if curry, yeah. but if making curry is their innovation,
yeah,
I'm gonna call them out.
Well, I mean, like, this is like, I think that's a very good point. Like, let's try innovation now. They've nailed the Pokemon creation. Like, yeah. that's what they've done forever. Like, in the latest, no spoilers, but in the latest chapter of My Hero Academia, a hero gives a piece of advice that says you have to understand the fundamentals of your power, of your, you know, of your skill set before you can start doing something. There's no such thing, unless you're a special case, as an effective parallel process. And so I think for this game, having only just played the little demo that I got to, and they are trying to avoid doing the parallel process, then that mm-hmm. is exciting to me. We're going to have to see how well their first kind of real big push at innovation goes, if that's what this game is fully intending to do, and that's what it looks like is trying to do. Because, yeah. you know, 5 years down the line, 3 years, however long that process takes for them to nail the innovation process, which, again, isn't something you could really nail, but they get a better handle on it. You know, then we might see the National Dex comes back. I don't know how likely that is to happen now that they've ripped the Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very smart of them to finally say, okay, let's not try to do parallel process. It's not working. Let's just focus on doing this. And if that means we can't have everybody, then that's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we do know that there's a lot in this game
mm-hmm.
that we've never gotten before. You know, those max raids. Yeah, well, yeah, the curry. But, you know, we've got the max raids. You know, that's an entirely new mechanic that's never been even remotely tried. You know, like local, you know, like online gameplay in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like co-op Pokemon battles. Like, we've never seen it like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen, you know, you could say, like, you know, there's the Dynamax and there's the Gigantamax. Before, it was always, you know, the closest thing that we've had to that is, like, okay, only, like, a certain gender of Pokemon can evolve. You know, we've never had, like, only a small percentage, like, only specific kinds of this, and you're going to have to go and figure those out. Mm-hmm. We've never had the wild area, where there are mm-hmm. going to be Pokemon that you will encounter that are way beyond your level and will kick your butt unless yeah. you run away.
Machamp's going to be running at you. Like,
he's coming. Like, he's got four Dio fists.
Brando from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Are you approaching me? Yes, and I'm running.
It's like, he's got four fists and he knows how to use them, so run.
Basically.
I'm excited. Look, we're getting closer and closer and closer.
I'm so excited.
Review Shield. Copies should be coming Shield. Pretty soon.
Shield, 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 Shield.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
I'm also excited.
Before we get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week, I want to read some reviews, and then we'll get to the fact, and then roll on out of here. We're going to read two reviews this week. First one is from Gryffindor Team Captain. Thursdays are my hardest days at work, but after finding a wild podcast, I have actually been enjoying these days. Fantastic personalities and similar opinions is why I have to come to I have come to love this podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Simply amazing. P.S. Sudowoodo is a way cooler rock Pokemon than Geodude. Crossing my fingers that he gets a Galar form.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
I would love like a full like little tiny bonsai Sudowoodo.
I would like to see like a Stonehenge version of Sudowoodo. That feels very British to me. Mm. And yes, I agree that Sudowoodo.
Stop. I'm moving on. The next review is from Kyle Valappi. My daily commute to work has transformed into something I can look forward to, so I can enjoy this podcast. Entertaining commentary on upcoming Pokemon stuff. And in parentheses, all the Pokemon stuffs, non-offensive language, and just all-around fun. I cannot wait for the next Nintendo Direct to have all y'all point out the stuff I've missed. Keep up the great content.
Hmm.
So thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Gryffindor Team Captain.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Hey, I get one.
All right, Christian, what is the Pokemon fact of the week?
This is our final Halloween fact. So I dug in. I was looking around for some of the more... less popular ghost-type Pokemon, and I came to one of those Pokemon which kind of gets commonly criticized. This is the Litwick family of Pokemon. So, you know, mm-hmm. Litwick is literally, it's a little candle with a little purple flame and a face. And people, mm-hmm. It's one of those Pokemon that people are like, did they stop trying? You know?
Okay, but you can't look at Litwick and say that and then look at Alcremie and be like, oh my god, that's brilliant. Because it's basically the same thing.
I never am the one to say that. Let's be clear. I love all of the Pokemon equally, with the exception of Geodude. Anyways, it's evolution lampant. The entire line has like this like dark little side fact to it. It's got these little flames, these purple flames, and they don't burn using oxygen. They burn using souls. So that's creepy, you know. So like Litwick like hangs around people, like sucks their like life force from them, and then that's what it uses to burn its candle. That's creepy. You know, like, you know, that's creepy. Lampet takes things a step farther. Lampet hangs around hospitals.
Oh no.
When people die, it steals their souls before they can pass on to the afterlife, and then it uses those souls as fuel for its quote unquote baleful fire. It's literally robbing people of like the afterlife.
That's horrifying.
It hangs out at hospitals. It sucks souls.
Is that like the Pokemon world version of like purgatory? Like if you get stuck in a lampant, that's purgatory.
Then they talk about, it's like, yeah, and those who get burned by those spirits who get burned by these fires are doomed to walk the earth for eternity. It's like, oh my god!
Does it get worse with Chandelure?
Chandelure's the one who, like, dooms people to eternity. So Litwick just, you know, steals the life force and uses that as ambient energy. Like, fine, whatever. It's like, you know, not the first Pokemon that, you know, drains people of their life force. Mm-hmm. Lampet steals the souls of the recently deceased, and then Chandelure damns people for all eternity.
You can just imagine, like, if you're living in this world, and all of a sudden there's just a bunch of Lampers just, like, hanging out at a hospital. It's like, I know what you're doing. Like, you have to, like, go with a broom and shoo them away.
Like, no. leave my grandmother's soul alone.
Are there like Lampoor traps, you know, that then they have to go like into the forest and release them again and like, go feast on the souls of dead animals or something. Like, get away from this hospital.
My favorite thing with this is like, imagine in a hospital, Pokemon world, Nurse Jenny's there because obviously hospitals need security, you know, in case people come in. The thing is Pokemon always shows these like police officers taking care of like baddie criminals like Jesse James, Team Rocket, all the different teams. I'm sure Team Yell in the Sword and Shield games. The thing is though, is they need to be going around fighting these evil Pokemon. Like Nurse Jenny, they like the hospital security guards
trying to survive. It's not like you're gonna, you know, go and get rid of crows or vultures or whatnot. They just need, like I said, they're like raccoons, right? Like they're basically the soul equivalent of raccoons. They're soul eating raccoons.
So, you know,
or basically, like if you've got a raccoon living in your attic, you have to set a trap to catch the raccoon and then release it back into the wild, far away from your home, so it doesn't come back. Same thing needs to happen for these. And if the Pokemon world doesn't have these yet, then someone's going to get rich keeping Lampoors away from hospitals.
I can't wait until we get, like, Pokemon prison and Pokemon rehabilitation where the bad guy is, like, a prison warden who's like, Lampet can just be used as the death penalty. You know, we'll simply, like, feed them the souls of the executed. And, like, you're like, no, that's horrifying!
camming them twice.
Why are you doing this? And like, that's the story. It's like, we're one step away from like an Azkaban situation here. Where they just like throw people away. It's like, oh yeah, like Lampet's, you know, we've just got a bunch of ghost Pokemon hanging around outside. You can try to escape, but they will like consume your life force. Damn you to hell. And also, I don't know, you become a ghost Pokemon. Doomed to do the same thing over and over again.
There are a lot of really weird real world implications with this one that I had not expected until we started talking about
now
it.
Now all I can think of is like Lampets are the Pokemon Dementors.
Well, right. Well, it's just like one of those things, right? Where you're like, you know, when they show those commercials of Pokemon living in this world or whatnot, and they're showing cityscapes or whatnot. Now when you know, when there's a bunch of Lampets or whatever, just, you know, in a crowd together, you know, someone's going to die over there.
So, yeah.
I really can't wait until we get like Detective Pikachu 2.
So basically, Lampets are like hospital cats, like how they say cats can tell when someone's gonna die.
Yeah.
Basically, they're the Lampets.
Yeah. We've compared them to a lot of things today: hospital cats, soul-eating raccoons, dementors, a lot of
fantastic things. God, I approve.
This is why you need to listen to this podcast until the very end.
If this is your first one, there's plenty of these. We got, what, the episode 27? There's 26 more that are, some are equally as horrifying, some are maybe a little less so, but this is probably the one we've had a bit more fun with than some other ones. So
usually we just all stare into the camera in existential horror. That's how we end the show.
Yeah. This time we got through it. We're getting used to
it. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Our hearts have become hardened to the real-world Pokemon implications. If you're new to this show, please tell your friends about us. We want more Pokemon fans to come join us in this fun that we have together. There's a lot of Pokemon podcasts out there, but none of them give you the quality of entertainment that we do. So tell your friends if they listen to other Pokemon podcasts that, screw that one. Come listen to a Wild Podcast Disappear. We have way more fun.
Yeah.
Why are we starting Pokemon podcast Flame Wars? There's enough space for all of us.
Sure.
There's enough space, but I dare say we are probably the only Pokemon podcast out there that both equally loves and hates Geodude in the same measure.
That's true.
That's true.
No other show does that. If you're new to the show is weekly, every Thursday, wherever podcasts can be found, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. If there are podcasts there, we are there. Hit that subscribe button. Again, if you would like a chance to win a t-shirt, leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If we read it on the air, you can email us at editor@comicbook.com or hit any one of us up on Twitter, and we'll find a way to get a shirt out to you post-haste. We have a new batch going out probably later this week for some of the folks that from last week and the week before that. So be on the lookout there. Like I said, we're on the getting closer and closer to Sword and Shield, and it's just going to open a whole bunch of new doors as we play through it, talk about it, and I'm sure we will find a way to battle each other's teams live on air one way or the other, because that's what I'm looking forward to, because Jim likes to win, and he likes to show people when he wins. So,
and Jim's been racking up a bunch of L's on this podcast lately.
Wow. Not true. Not true. Not even a little true. Well, that's going to do it for us here today at A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We will see you at the same place, same time next week. We'll catch you then.